Hello there. Welcome to the Audible Weed Walk, episode 71. This is Nina. February is the month of festivities, especially here, celebrations, nice weather, golden sun, and tons of cultural programs, workshops, seminars, films. It's hard to keep up with. It is also the month I personally revel on finding and checking out weeds that are growing around me and offer a weekly weed walk to share the experience with others. Without failure, I learn something new. I find a new plant, discover new facts about something that I didn't know before. February, however, is also special because of the birthdays of my near and dear ones. My mother at the beginning of the month and my nephew a day before Orville's birthday. And of course, birthday of the mother, Mira Alfasa, on the 21st and Orville's own birthday on the 28th. So, especially that week from 21st to 28th, it's crazy busy and wonderful. So, I was going to talk to you about at length about a less used, much ignored weed, which is in my book, and which, like the celosia or the coxcomb plant I spoke about last week, is also underutilized. Moreover, it is one which can be eaten safely raw, you know, which is not a character for most of the weedy plants. But I will have to talk about it next week, because this week it's about celebration. Guess what? I have been thinking about offering edible weed food from time to time. Why? Because as a society, we have a lot of inbuilt reservation against eating weedy greens. First, we call them weeds because we are not quite familiar with them. Even when we learn about them, it is quite a bit of gestation period before some of us can feel comfortable to actually try them out. Unless we are nudged somehow, sometime, we never get to cross the bridge and incorporate them in our diet. Even though we know weedy wild greens are not just packed with nutrition, but are rich natural sources of micronutrients that everybody needs. Much better than natural and local than popping pills. Secondly, there is an issue about sourcing. Because we are used to eating a few cultivated greens, in our mind we need a certain large amount of one single green. But when it comes to wild weedy green, even a handful in the soup or dal is often enough. And while eating greens as a separate dish, it is okay to mix with 3 to 5 complementary greens to make them as one item. True, collecting or gathering them can be an issue if they are not growing in pots which is close to you or in your backyard. If you source from outside, then one needs to ensure that the plants are collected where they are growing in clean water and not contaminated or polluted ones. This is a genuine concern. Even while purchasing some of the wild greens that comes to the local market seasonally, one needs to be aware of that because weeds often embody the water it grows in. So, more we appreciate the weeds, more I see that the problem of polluting and littering may also reduce, because who knows, maybe along the roadside, the wild weedies can be nurtured in a clean environment that everybody can confidently source and eat them. Until that day, we have to rely on the ones being nurtured around the gardens and in protected yards. Schools are actually excellent venues for growing weeds and actually offering them to the kids at lunch. Third, and one of the major concern, is how to cook, how to pre-process so that it is safe. If you have a copy of my book, you will notice that in the colored insert, briefly I write how to pre-process each green. But the recipes, you are free to choose. But then the question remains, what recipe? Is it going to be too time consuming? Will it taste weird? Will children and other family members who are now eating so much food outside appreciate it? I notice this is in the pandemic time when people who came to, pre-pandemic time, when people came for my weed walk regularly, they got to learn about weeds over time. And they were very good at it. Still, many of them could not quite get to the stage where they would eat them. And there was some hesitation. Part of it is due to the social stigma. The social construct we live in, the weeds are not considered good enough. And labeled with that is that it is a poor person's food. And it is assumed that you have to be really poor to eat it. And also it is it's of poor quality. The reality is far from it. Aside from that, like anything new, there is always an initial hesitation to adopt it. During the first lockdown, several of you who have spontaneously tried cooking these various wild greens have found it really, really yummy. And many people have experimented, shared, and shared the recipes in the Roots, which is a WhatsApp group we have. And it was vibrant and wonderful. We have to keep that spirit up. But how? I have been thinking about having fun and light learning around eating wild greens. In the past, Sangeeta and I had offered pop-up lunch and had planned more of the same, but then the lockdown happened. There was a tea and treat with wild weedies I had offered at the Botanical Garden canteen. And last one was a month ago. I think I had... it was several months back. I had a test session of for Mantakali, which is Solanum nigrum and Solanum americanum greens. And I invited a group of people to taste several items that I made out of that for a video, and it was meant for fundraising. That event was very successful as far as the cooking and sharing the food was concerned. But the video somehow did not survive. I don't know what happened. It died. And we don't have any records of that. And I still have not raised enough fund for book number 2 and 3. However, book number 1 is getting reprinted now. One has to be mindful while eating wild weedy greens to ensure that it is in the season that you eat, and how much one can collect. Thumb rule is that you should not collect more than 25% from a patch of green you find. Also, to harvest, you need to you don't need to harvest the entire plant. You harvest what you need. If you are going to eat the leaves, then you harvest the leaves. You know, when the Mantakali greens comes to the market, it's the entire plant. So you have to sit and sort, and half of the things which you have purchased are actually thrown. But, you know, if only the greens were collected, then you know, the plant survives. It will produce even more green. And then you don't have to have so much of... cleaning up to do sitting around the table. Given that a few months back I had received I was approached by an eatery in Oroville to incorporate wild weedy greens in their food on a daily or a weekly basis. Even such a wonderful idea, I actually wondered if that was a correct approach without having the first step, which is nurturing and maintaining a source. Because if I am actually using it for a large number of people on a regular basis, I can actually deplete the older sources of weedy greens around. And that's not our aim, right? So how to harvest, where to harvest, how to nurture them, where to source them are very important questions. Eating wild green is not just healthy. It also trains us to be in tune with climate change. You see, the plant that we can see, I mean, not the planktons and really tiny algae kind of thing, lives. Weeds are known, weeds which we can actually see and notice. Of these kind of plants, weeds are known to adapt fastest to the climate change. When climate change disrupts the weather pattern, such that nothing is predictable, then one sure thing is to link ourselves to something that is changing, like weeds, changing and adapting. But by being in touch with the edible weeds that are growing around us, at any given time, we are tuning ourselves to nature and ensuring a rich source of nourishing food and micronutrients, and enhancing our climate resilience. So, bringing weed and weedy food to people is a must. How to do it joyfully? Just like the coloring book on edible weeds had brought the knowledge about them in lightness and beauty. I thought about pop-up dinners or lunch. A few months back, almost had one. I was invited by one of the Auroville eateries to organize one. But it was still raining and it was not the best time to eat wild weedy greens at that time. So I held back, had a few thoughts and possibilities. But being utterly busy with several things, especially reprinting the edible weed book, it remained on the back burner. So when the new Solar Kitchen team, Harshini, invited me to organize a dinner, I wondered. I was excited about the possibilities of introducing the wild weedy food to some people who have never come for the edible weed walk, not into wild weeds at all, but may be touched by their magic. So, along with a few trusted friends who are experts in their own rights, we discussed the details and decided to give it a go. I could not have planned it better to make this offering on the birthday week. I am honored by the opportunity of bringing wild, weedy, wonderful green to the dinner plates of several. Maybe it will be the beginning of a journey for many to tap into the treasure trove that nature has provided us to hold and nourish us. Of course, while eating wild, weedy green, it is essential to pair with, as much as possible, with what is local and seasonal. We will have a simple platter, a weedy soup, a saru, a salad with ripe papaya and wild greens, a wildflower-infused rice, and a weedy green thogyal, which is a paste-like chutney to go along with. This along with a refreshing astringent drink to help with the digestion. So it will be local, seasonal, wild weedy dinner that will make one full but not too heavy. This is the intention. I will tell you how it goes next time. Until then, stay well and stay safe, and I better start getting ready for this event on Thursday 24th, 2022.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.